This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. The midterm elections are over, and by no stretch of exaggeration can we say it was a stunning victory for the Republican Party and an equally stunning defeat for President Obama and the Democratic Party. Now, midterm elections are always a little bit like a protest vote against the president, specifically when the American people are not happy with him. But this one today, or yesterday evening, was just amazing in that for the first time since 80 years, the Republicans gained more seats in the House than before, and they also took over the majority in the Senate. So now they are, when it comes to Congress, in total control. What does this all mean, though, for the United States of America? Even before the midterm elections took place, an article was published by BBC News on November 3, which said the following. There are two stories running big in the United States at the moment, the midterm elections and Ebola. For Barack Obama, it is as though the two have become horribly confused. For it seems all the Democratic Party hopefuls fighting in the key Senate seats are treating him as though he was infected by Ebola. That is to say, they want Mr. Obama to go through the 21-day quarantine that health workers from West Africa are undergoing. In a sealed tent, somewhere in the White House, nowhere near their states, he is being kept away from the key swing states. When he has turned up, some candidates have cited scheduling difficulties or diary confusion to explain why they did not meet him. In truth, there is not much love for the Republicans either. All of which begs the question, what difference will it make if the Republicans do take control of the Senate, which of course now they have done? Some are predicting that it will be gridlock on steroids. In other words, just like before, only worse. And that is, unfortunately, the opinion many commentators have. BBC News wrote on November 5, the Republicans will now have the power to complicate, if not block completely, Mr. Obama's agenda in the last 2 years of his tenure in the White House. Control of the Senate will also enable the Republicans to stymie his ability to name new federal judges, cabinet members, and senior governmental officials. Now, what about passing laws? What about repealing laws? People have been talking about repealing this abominable Obamacare law, the way they look at it. Is that going to happen? Well, under the Constitution, Article 1, Section 1 of the United States Constitution, we read that all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in the Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. So therefore they could do it, couldn't they? Well, let's talk about how laws are being made. This is also taken from the Internet. It says, laws begin as ideas. First, a representative sponsors a bill. The bill is then assigned to a committee for study. If released by the committee, the bill is put on a calendar to be voted on, debated, or amended. If the bill passes by simple majority, the bill moves to the Senate. In the Senate, the bill is assigned to another committee, and if released, debated, and voted on. Again, a simple majority passes the bill. Finally, a conference committee made of House and Senate members works out any differences between the House and Senate versions of the bill. The resulting bill returns to the House and Senate for final approval. The government printing office prints the revised bill in a process called enrolling. The president then has 10 days to sign or veto the enrolled bill. Now that's, of course, already the conclusion of the matter. We know that President Obama will never sign a bill which would repeal the Obamacare disaster. But at the same time, we don't even know that even though the Republicans have the majority, they are not necessarily unified in their approach either. And so, again, the question is what is going to happen within the next 2 years and beyond. Now, here's an article by the Washington Times dated November 5, which was written by Charles Hurd. I want to tell you right now a very controversial article, but I'd like to read it to you anyhow to show you a little bit like how the American people feel, because I think it kind of pretty much reflects what happened in the midterm elections. It says, if President Obama suffered a shell lacking in the 2010 elections, then what he endured Tuesday night was nothing short of a vicious gangland beat down, the likes of which have rarely been seen before in the history of electoral politics. This, of course, is a wonderful and well-deserved outcome. You know, obviously, it tells you where he stands politically. But beware! America now enters the two most dangerous years of her existence, or certainly the most dangerous since the Great Depression, and possibly going all the way back to the Civil War. Not to dismiss the promising results of Tuesday's election, voters clearly and forcefully rejected the party, politics, and policies of President Obama. They slapped his socialist agenda back into the days of Soviet gulags, where it belongs. His grand visions of mighty government ruling unchecked over desperate ghettos have been snuffed out. President Obama still has two more years left for his final term. Already, he has demonstrated again and again that he has no regard for the Constitution or the legitimacy of laws when they do not suit his agenda. He flaunts his disregard for the constitutional process, dismisses laws he doesn't like, and rewrites others. He mocks the powers of Congress. The Supreme Court has slapped him down more than any president in recent times. But at the same time, let's not forget that the Supreme Court also made a very controversial and, in my mind, unconstitutional decision when it came to the penalty insofar as Obamacare law is concerned. He goes on to say in this article, all of this, as he tells us, he's an expert on constitutional law. So allegedly, these are the laws or the lawyers or the judges on the Supreme Court. And they also come up with what I feel are totally wrong decisions. Now, the article says, now come his very explicit threats to pass more illegal and unconstitutional presidential edicts to grant amnesty to illegal aliens already in the United States. Disowned by Democrats and made to feel irrelevant in this election, President Obama's enormous and unjustified ego is deeply wounded. He is frustrated and feels caged, cornered. This is when people like him are most dangerous. Then the article says that Franklin D. Roosevelt's court-packing scheme during the Great Depression was nothing like the strains this president has put on the Constitution. Indeed, not since the Civil War has America faced such a dire threat to her existence as a lawful constitutional republic. Now, the question really is, what is going to happen? Is there going to be a bipartisan agreement? Well, we've heard about that before, and nothing came out of it. In fact, right now, they are more divided than ever when it comes to the Republican and Democratic parties. But it goes deeper than that. Let's not forget that the downfall of the United States of America didn't begin when President Obama was elected. The downfall probably began after World War II, all the way through the Vietnam War, Korean War, and so on. And this article by the Washington Times, dated November 2, feels it began when the Berlin Wall fell 25 years ago. Now, listen very carefully to this article, and you might or might not agree with it, but it nevertheless has an interesting point. It says, it was the beginning of the end, the fall of the Berlin Wall, of the American Republic, and the end of the beginning of the American Empire. The Cold War victory left the United States with no rival superpower, so we embraced practices emblematic of the Soviet Union. For instance, detention without accusation or trial or indiscriminate spying on citizens without warrants. We became arrogant and thrilled by objectless, purposeless dominion for the sake of dominion. The United States paradoxically came to resemble the global tyranny the Cold War was fought to defeat. A 1992 draft of a Defense Department document authored by Paul Wolfowitz urged U.S. military force preemptively to destroy any pre-embryonic new rival. Few, if any, in the nation's political leadership asked, then or later, why U.S. global domination achieved not through the peaceful influence of example, but through the sword would advance justice or promote an elevated moral order. And then came the predictable, gratuitous wars and spiraling national debt. We evicted Saddam Hussein from Kuwait in 1991 to reinstate a tyrannical dynasty. We dispatched troops to Somalia to elevate a humanitarian crisis and got Black Hawk down and the Al-Shabaab terrorist organization. We rained bombs on Bosnia and got an ethnically partitioned nation between Muslims, Croats, and Serbs. We initiated war against Serbia or Kosovo and set a precedent for Russian President Vladimir Putin and his annexation of Crimea. We continued war in Afghanistan long after the perpetrators of 9/11 had been killed or captured. We invaded Iraq in 2003 and joined its sequel war against the Islamic State in 2014. We have carried the global perpetual war against international terrorism to Pakistan, Yemen, Nigeria, Syria, the Philippines, and elsewhere. We endowed the President of the United States with power to exterminate any person on the planet whom he decrees, based on secret, uncorroborated evidence, may endanger the national security now or in the future, whom the guards would destroy, they first intoxicate with limitless power. My friends, there are a few words in here which are very important for us to remember, because it is in fact true that America is predestined to fall. The fact that the greatness of America appeared didn't because of the greatness of the American people, their righteousness, their might, their power, their ability. It was strictly because of a promise which God made unconditionally to Abraham, a forefather of the American people. Most people have no idea about that. They think Abraham was just a forefather of the Jewish people. That's a totally ridiculously wrong concept. Now, he is a forefather, amongst others, of the American people, and God made a promise to him that his descendants would be blessed, but they would also be cursed if they are not living worthy to those blessings, and that is exactly what is happening in the United States. Who in his right mind would be able to say that the United States of America today is a righteous people, following the God of the Bible? We have prepared a booklet, The Fall and Rise of Britain and America, and this booklet proves beyond a shadow of a doubt why we are in the problematic scene and stage we are in today. And it's not going to get better within the next 2 years or beyond. We have to understand that. The curses are upon us, and there are reasons. And in fact, it is true, as the article points out, that with the fall of the Berlin Wall, something was set in motion. Because now the United States of Europe could begin to be established on continental European soil. And it is, in fact, the continental European power under German leadership which will ultimately defeat the United States in war. And of course, you may not believe that. Our booklet and also other literature we have is pointing this out and proving this beyond a shadow of the doubt. Before closing, I'd like to ask you for a favor, because I'd like to know how you feel about our programs. Do you listen to them? Are you watching them? We have radio programs as well, giving you the same message like the internet programs do. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like you to write us or to briefly call us, our number, which is not a free call number, free toll number though, but it's a number you can dial, it's a California number, no scam, 760-788-8033, 760-788-8033. And just give a feedback on our answer machine, just to let us know, do you appreciate the programs, specifically in the area you are living, because let's say our radio programs, if they are not appreciated by anybody over there in this particular area, we will take them off, and we'll put them someplace else where people do appreciate them. So I'd like to know. I'd like to hear from you. Please don't be shy. Give us your honest opinion as to how you feel, but we'd like to get some feedback. Or write us, Standing Watch, P.O. Box 270-519, 270-519, San Diego, California, 92198, 92198. Just send us a brief note, and we would really appreciate it. Until next time, this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.